CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, Stevie Wonder with For Once in My Life. What a beautiful song. What a great artist. God damn, he's still around. He's still going strong, Stevie. I saw him doing carpool karaoke with James Corden the other day. God, he's great. So many great songs. You look at Stevie's discography and you could be in heaven by song 3. You go beyond heaven by song 4, 5, and 6.
He's just done a very cool Christmas special. Well, he featured on John Legend's Christmas special in the States.
John Legend's got a Christmas album.
Yes.
Ah.
And the whole special is called A Legendary Christmas.
If it doesn't feature Michael Bublé, it's not a legendary Christmas.
Screw Michael Bublé. Who really wants to know what he's doing?
I saw a billboard with him yesterday.
Really?
Bublé's Christmas or some shit.
Oh, no.
Because you know it's Christmas when Bublé's out.
Right.
A Bubblicious Christmas.
All right. Where do we begin, Leanne Moll? What do you want to talk about today? Remember, it's a politics-free Friday. That's how we're going to be from now on.
Greg, would you like to have some Christmas gift ideas?
Yes. That sound like a good plan.
That sound nice.
Hit me where it hurts.
Okay. Ooh. So these are the most gifted products on Amazon. So you can either creep on the gift ideas of other users everywhere or use them as inspiration for your own gifting needs.
Yes.
So some of the coolest products that made the list this week, starting off with a set of 11 soft mermaid makeup brushes.
How did you know that was what I wanted?
I don't think, besides Nolo, that anyone else will be interested in this, but
They're
holographic and they're cute and they've got little mermaids' tails in purple and they fade into teal and they're just really awesome. Love those. You know these Korean or K-beauty, Korean beauty products that are all the rage at the moment?
Yeah, my favorite.
Yes. You get these sheet masks that you put on. Mm-hmm. And now they come with all little animal face shapes. So you can have yours as a little dog or a cat or a panda or a seal, which is lots of fun. How about a pineapple ukulele kit? It's really cute, I must say. It's this pineapple-shaped and colored ukulele kit, which comes with plectrums and...
an ukulele.
Yeah, it's an ukulele.
Yeah, it is. It's an ukulele. Don't let anyone tell you pronounce that ukulele, all right?
Oh, okay.
Ukulele.
Ukulele.
Yes. All the rage right now are these water flosses. You know, like a water pick.
I don't understand how those work. I've never used one. I'm too scared. Does it?
No, it's harmless.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. And
what does it do?
The only thing, it's just
high pressure water.
Instead of using floss, it's just high pressure water.
Yeah, dental floss is disgusting.
It's really difficult to use, I must say.
Why is it disgusting?
It's just disgusting. Well, you thread it between your teeth.
And you've got this string of stuff. And
then it does the job.
It sticks to your hand when you're trying to throw it away into the bin.
Yeah, I agree. It does the job, but it's gross. It's just gross.
I don't like it. But the only thing is giving someone a water pick for their teeth, really a nice gift. You know, it's something. Maybe buy it for
yourself. What are you trying to say? Yeah, if you give someone that for... Here, Gladys, I've always liked you, but your fucking breath stinks.
There's a very cool book called Women in Science, and it's all about 50 fearless pioneers who changed the world, and it's beautifully illustrated.
Who runs the world?
Girls. And it's aimed...
Who runs the world?
Girls.
Who runs the world?
Girls. And girls is who it's aimed at. It is for younger girls.
Yeah, they're always trying to get girls into the sciences. You know that all over the world, wherever they've tried to do this, it's had the opposite effect. Like, girls do not... love science as much as boys. Even at this prize giving last night.
Mm-hmm.
Who got the maths prize? Boys. Who got the science prize? Boys. Who got the life science? Boys. Sorry, it's just like, you know, girls are better with people. This is just the truth.
Psychology, language.
And medicine and all that kind of thing.
Communication.
Girls are better at that because you deal with people. There are way more women in the health sciences and in teaching and in psychology and in all those things, then there are men.
Mm.
You see a male nurse, you're like, what?
Yeah.
I mean,
you
no
know what you call it, male? Because you walk around saying, "Hey, sister, hi, sister."
What do you call him?
For the males, that you call them Mister.
Oh,
sister and Mister.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it's just a thing. Like, let's not get too wrapped up in this idea that we've got to have 50% of every profession being male or female. It's crazy. Like, there are, of course, there was that movie with the women NASA.
Hidden Figures.
Sure. And there are women who are incredible in the sciences. Do not get me wrong. But to try and get it to 50-50 sounds to me like social engineering. If a girl wants to be a psychologist rather than a laboratory scientist, let her.
Mm.
Who the hell is the state to try and force that stuff to happen?
I'm sure it all equals out somewhere. I mean, you've got makeup artists and women clothing designers who are men.
Sure.
Just brilliant.
Of course you do. I mean, yeah, the fashion industry is probably about 50-50.
Yeah.
But here's the interesting thing, right? In Scandinavia, where they have the most equal society, they have the most unequal job
gender
distribution.
Gender distribution.
Yeah. Gender distribution in jobs. So it is the most equal society. In other words, men and women have, as far as anyone's concerned, the least difference in earning, in opportunity, in job reservation, any of that stuff. They all have as much of a chance as each other. It's like no other place in the world when it comes to equality. And as a result, they've got even more gender disparity. There are no women engineers in Norway, Sweden, or Denmark. They're like a scattering of herbs. They're so rare.
Mm.
And in some of the other professions, there are no men at all. So in the most equal society, you end up with the most unequal distribution of people by gender in certain professions. That should tell you something.
Mm. Speaking of a sprinkling of herbs.
Yes.
Another Christmas stocking stuffer.
Stocking stuffer. Which one is it?
Is a cookbook that brings two things that people love into one very relaxing activity.
Uh-oh.
It's called Bong Appetit. Mastering the Art of Cooking with Weed.
Bong Appetit.
It's a beautiful book, actually.
Edibles, Jesus.
Yeah. You still can't mention it without
a little. Oh, yes. I forgot about the sensitivities.
Rolling down my spine.
The history.
Ben doesn't even know what happened on that whole weekend. He's basically man down with the... Ben and I tucked into that edible. We're like, how much harm can it do? He was lying here like basically someone who'd been rehypnoled.
I was, yeah.
Oh.
I could kind of gauge there was something happening around me, but I was not part of it.
Not drooling.
Not part of it at all.
Disastrous.
I think I was drooling, but...
Oh, my word.
I'll still just never forget the image of I was passed out in at the studio on the floor, and just out of the corner of my eye, I see Ben on all fours just crawling on the floor as well. And
trying
just,
to get to a safe space.
And he just goes, "I'm going to lie down here." He just falls onto the floor and collapses.
Like when a puppy's really tired and it just falls asleep where it's standing.
And then Celeste was in there watering us like dead plants. Have some water.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Anyway, so this, what is this?
Bong Appetit.
Bong Appetit.
Bong Appetit. Right.
Tell me more.
Yeah, it's basically a book with martyring the arst.
Martyring the arst.
Martyring the arst. Jesus, that's
what happens
thing.
At the Vatican.
Have you had
you
some of
the arst? Martyring the arst.
I must have less vodka in my water. Oh, gosh. Mastering the Art of Cooking with Weed.
Exciting.
And then there's some really practical gifts, which I like these mini projectors. You go to meetings sometimes, or you're with friends and you all want to look at the same thing at the same time on a phone.
Oh, yeah?
So a little mini projector that you can put onto the
wall.
That's
a good idea.
Or you can watch movies and that sort of thing at home with pillows and blankets.
Oh, that's cool. How much is that?
I'll have to look it up for you because I've now scrolled way past it.
Oh.
But the other thing is like a tablet stand.
Okay.
So you can lie in bed. It's got four legs and you can put your tablet on it over your bosom area.
Very good.
Mine would have to have extendable legs.
Yes. Yours would probably be past your head.
Yeah. Good egg.
All right. So that's a nice idea.
Hmm. Yes. I just saw this cute pair of pineapple earrings.
What is it with pineapples? Is this the year of pineapples?
It's a very
pineapples,
sexy
flamingos,
fruit.
Everything tropical this year.
A pineapple just says holiday.
Watermelons.
It says fun.
Yeah.
You know, if you eat too much pineapple, it'll actually corrode your teeth.
Well, there was
very acidic.
There was a, I think it was the Hollywood diet or whatever, years ago. I was too little to really pick up on it, but my mom went on it and you had pineapple every day for like 2 weeks. She came out and had sores all over her body and her face.
Very acidic.
Yeah, you've got
inside your mouth must have been like a pimple.
Yes, exactly. Oh.
Basically burns its way through. You could, if you put a piece of metal on a pineapple, it'll corrode it away eventually.
A lot of people are very allergic to pineapples as well.
And that's why pina coladas, it's a lovely idea, but
no. Everything in moderation.
That's what Bonang Mahale said yesterday.
That's right. That's right. Okay, carry on.
The cutest retro style suitcase turntable.
What?
That plays records and syncs up to Bluetooth and Wi-Fi.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, so there's no... Oh, it's not like a suitcase.
Because have you got any records or CDs?
I know there's some out? In the top of my parents' cupboards that I would love to get into.
Tell you what, those things are probably worth something.
And they've got good sound.
Guys like Randall, he's an audiophile, right? He just loves music. He swears that the sound of vinyl...
Yeah.
It's way better than the sound you get out of a CD or an MP3 file.
It's so much more warm and intimate. Mm-hmm. You can't get something like that on digital.
I don't know. I think a lot of these guys are talking shit. But let's give them the benefit.
Well,
if you can
afford the right sort of sound system to really bring that out, sure. If you've got some crappy headphones that your cell phone gave you when you bought it.
Yeah, that's true.
Much of a matchness.
All right. Any other gift ideas?
Just some cool ones for people who love staying at home, which is really quite a trend now. Staying at home is cooler than going out.
A staycation as well.
It is.
Yes.
Instead of going on holiday, you stay at home and make it really cool.
Mm-hmm. So things like Lego kits are quite fun at the moment.
Yes.
And like little robot kits, building your own robots and things like that.
Yes.
But yeah, it's definitely the era of... Netflix and chill, and more and more people are staying home. You get cheaper booze, you control what you drink more.
You went straight to the booze, huh?
Yeah, straight to and that's the end of my story.
In fact, that's all Leanne has to say at all.
Yeah, I'm all right, done.
So I've got something to tell you. Miss America, which was, I don't think it's probably a month or so ago in America, it's completely failed. The ratings have gone to an all-time low. Nobody watched. Do you know why?
Well,
I think we all know why, Gareth.
We predicted this. Do you remember when they announced last year that that Gretchen Carlson, who used to be on Fox News, she took over Miss America. She owns the pageant, or she's in charge of the pageant, and they decided no more swimsuits, no more bikinis. This is going to be about empowering women and, you know, girls who run the world. Girls who run the world.
Oh,
girls
please.
Who run the world. So what happened was they decided they were going to change the whole pageant and introduce a talent show part of it, which always used to be part of it, but the talent could have been something innocuous and dumb. Now they're all political, right?
Uh-oh. Just remember what day it is.
I know. There are still some that are about talent. Like here's Miss... Well, her name is Allison Farris. I think she was like Miss Oklahoma or something, but listen to this quickly. This is her singing. Yeah.
And the talent competition is Allison Farris, District of Columbia.
Okay, DC. So.
It wasn't until I learned about music software that opened up this world of technology, and that's where I had this aha moment where I realized how I could turn my passion for music into a career using technology.
From music into a career.
Listen to her. So here she is. Let her play.
By Franz Liszt, it's Allison Farris, District of Columbia.
Take it away.
Of Columbia.
Oh, for God's sake, this stupid clip.
Oh, no.
Anyway, she played it so badly. She was so shit.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was horrible. And then Miss Colorado got up and started talking about nursing. I mean, can you imagine?
Oh, this just sounds like a family reunion.
I mean, this is the kind of thing that should be a school talent show, sure. But Miss America, she's standing there in her nurse's outfit, right? With a stethoscope around her.
Every nurse has a patient that reminds them why they became a nurse in the first place. Mine was Joe. Joe was in the beginning stages of Alzheimer's. He had moments with and moments without his memory.
Put on a bikini.
Right, that's a girl saying that.
He would wake up in the middle of the night screaming absolute bloody murder.
Oh my God. Who wants to hear this? One girl got up and did a whole spoken word thing. Yeah, she got up and went, I am a woman. I am powerful. Hear my roar.
No.
Every man in the whole of America, every man in America lost his erection. The guys who used to watch Miss America. Young girls are so disinterested in it now, they're thinking of becoming Caitlyn Jenner.
Okay.
Understandable.
No, this will just give rise to the likes of Miss Universe and Miss World or whatever the case is. And you know, just
listen to this one. This is Miss Michigan. Oh. Oh, God. Okay, she's talking about... You can hardly hear this. It's so badly... The whole show was just awful, by the way. The quality was terrible. You couldn't hear half the contestants. The judges were bad. They pulled people out of, like, D-list soap opera celebritydom to come and judge the thing because no one else would touch it. So she basically got up there and said, I'm from the state with 84% of the U.S.'s fresh water, but none of it for residents to drink, because she's from Flint, Michigan. Mm-hmm. I am Miss Michigan, Emily Sioma. So it's all political. I mean, who wants to hear that?
Mm-mm.
Right?
Well, guys, you know why it's no Politics Friday? We have to do this because there's far too much of it. There's some interesting things around sports, and obviously this is that people are so petrified to not be part of the clickbait mob nowadays. They're changing everything they used to have. So sport networks are becoming political networks.
That's
because
right.
They feel they have to be part of the wave of clickbait stuff.
Right. Even the talk show, the late night talk shows. Yeah. You know, I was listening to an interview with Norm Macdonald, who was invited onto Jimmy Fallon, and then he said something that got him in trouble with Me Too, about how he's friends with Roseanne and Louis C.K., and he thinks that we should investigate these claims before we just jump on people. And he suddenly found himself in trouble. Jimmy Fallon had to can him from The Tonight Show. He'd already come in. They'd prepared the whole thing. Jimmy Fallon had to go into his dressing room and say, I'm so sorry. We can't have you on the show because the Me Too movement will crucify me. Jimmy Spineless Fallon. And he doesn't tell jokes anymore. Neither does Trevor Noah. What they do now is they go on rants about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Boring.
That's exactly what it is.
Boring. Tell jokes. You're meant to make people laugh.
Yeah.
And people clap now, but they're clapping for commentary. They're clapping for analysis, and they're clapping for political stuff. It's not interesting. Tell jokes.
Play games.
Play games. Be funny. God damn you.
Well, do you want to hear something funny?
What's happened?
Okay. Well, it's not funny, but it is funny. Uh-oh. There is a woman who is very outraged by an airline as her and her daughter were trying to board a plane.
Yes.
And the woman at the desk was making fun of the kid's name.
Okay. Well, before we ask you the obvious question, what is the kid's name? Do you want me to play this clip?
Yeah.
All right. Is this the mom?
This is the mom who gave this kid this name.
Okay. Here she is. Now, she's cross because other people don't respect the ridiculous name that she gives her child. Like, that's anyone else's fault but hers.
Gate agents started mocking my child's name, laughing, pointing at me and my daughter, talking to other employees. So I turned around and just said, like, hey, I can hear you. So if I can hear you, my daughter can too. Like, I'd appreciate if you just stop.
Okay, so the name is, the name is ABCDE Harrison.
The kid's name is ABCDE.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Sorry,
no.
So ABCDE Redford. This is the kid's name. But it's pronounced A-B-City.
Ab-City.
Ab-City.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's it's a bit of a trend in the U.S. now. It's
Ab-City, spelt A-B-C-D-E.
A-B-C-D-E Redford, Ab-City. And the flight attendant's like, what the hell? You give this kid a name like this? And she started laughing.
Apparently, one of the staff on the plane took a picture of ABCDE's boarding pass and posted it on Facebook and said, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, I want South African announcers to announce this name. Just go to O.R. Tambo and hand this name
out. Yeah, exactly.
Whose fault is this?
But this woman, you are going to give your child a rough time, a rough time in life. Why would you want to do that? What's the upside of calling your kid that? Like, I know you had this whole thing like, well, it's a beautiful name and it's what I chose. Sure. But you have to interact with other human beings in this world, Absidy.
Ooh, cunty.
Imagine every single conversation that you have starts and revolves around the fact you've got a dumb name.
Basically.
Where do you go in life? Oh, who are you hiring? Well, there's one candidate's really good. The other one's got a stupid name. I don't know.
ABCD.
What I love is that the mother's upset that other people are mocking the child for a name that she gave her that's mockable.
Absidy Redford isn't the only person to have that name.
Absidy.
There's Absidy Santos, she's got a few things going for her. She's a 7-year-old autistic girl. And she was turned away by a mall Santa in 2014.
Oh, that's low.
Because
mall Santas will take anyone.
Because he feared the pit bull she was using as a service dog.
Blame him. Absidy Santos with a pit bull. I'm running the other way. I don't know about you.
After that story made headlines, and that was in 2014, 320 people named Absidy were listed as living in the United States. Some people are taking the alphabet part even further. So there's Absidy, ABCDE. Mm-hmm. There's CC, which is CECE.
Mm-hmm.
CD, which is SIDY.
Yeah.
AB, which is spelled like Abby. XYZ.
XYZ. No,
don't.
Hey, Sean, what's up?
Morning, guys.
Morning.
Morning. So, Gareth, I actually wanted to find him the other day, but then Gord Laws basically buggered up everything when you started speaking about white phosphorus.
Yeah, well, if you derail me like that, then you don't ever get to hear about the white phosphorus. Sorry.
I'm just wondering where the hell you got this stuff. When I was in the military, I mean, we used white phosphorus in our weapon system.
Mm-hmm.
Things like the Rafale, even your helicopter,
mm-hmm.
but white phosphorus as part of the weapon system. And it's a pretty devastating effect when that stuff falls on you because it burns.
And it doesn't stop. It does not stop burning until it runs out.
Yes. Yes. Well, it was. That's my two cents. It was just. It was very interesting to hear that you've actually got some of the stuff. Is it something you can buy? It's obviously you can't buy it over the counter.
So, hell no.
Okay. All right. So you got some sort of a license to get this stuff, I suppose.
Don't ask too many questions. I was gonna tell you the whole story, but then Gord Laws had his own story, so it was all about him. You know, that's how it goes.
It's always about Gord.
Yeah. All right, but thanks anyway, Sean.
All right, guys. Cheers, man.
By the way, you spell Sean's name Chnne.
Oh, that's right.
Just in case you were wondering. Yeah, you know how it goes.
My plumber is Shoren. Shorne. Shoren. We call him Shoren.
How does he pronounce it?
Sean.
Oh, bye. No, goodbye. No. Folks, do you know about the Krugersdorp killers?
Yes.
Oh, ho, ho. Yes. So you know they're having their time in court.
They're Satanists, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a great story. I love this.
They call themselves Electus Per Deus, which means chosen by God.
Yeah.
It's the 7-member gang who have committed a string of murders in Johannesburg's West Rand. But this is where things get a bit saucy, because I think for the first time in a very long time, Huisgenoot is caught in a scandal.
Huisgenoot in a scandal? Never. Yes. Only the trashiest magazine in the universe.
A young journalist has recently been suspended from her job at Huisgenoot for an apparent relationship with one of the notorious Krugersdorp killers.
Well, soort soek soort, as they say in Afrikaans.
And this just all stemmed from her being sent on assignment to cover the case.
What, she fell in love with the dude?
Yes.
That's like when women fall in love with prisoners before they've even met them.
I gotta tell you, these Satanists are so irresistible.
Something about them wearing blood vials around their necks. Ooh, yeah. ooh, just gets people
Something
going.
About all that killing that just turns you the hell on. Just gets you so excited.
All those pigeon feathers from once living pigeons.
Ooh, just gets you going. 28-year-old journalist from the Huisgenoot has currently not been named, but so far has been suspended after she sent text messages to one of the killers, even though she was just meant to be covering the case of the publication. So Huisgenoot is up in arms right now. Because some of the texts that have been revealed include,
It's a journalist busy banging a Satanist.
Include phrases like, and this is when I just roll my eyes. So this relationship that is now newly formed is between the 28-year-old journalist and one of the convicted killers, 22-year-old LaRue Stain, who was recently sentenced to 25 years imprisonment.
How many conjugal visits are they allowed?
I don't understand. One of their text messages includes LaRue Stain texting the journalist saying, wait for me. Hell no. 25 years and I have to wait for you? And she is just in love right now.
I would say they deserve each other. I would say that's great. Finally, we get to see... you know, the caliber of Huisgenoot journalists and the kind of love story that a Satanist can have.
The Huisgenoot editor is trying to, like, backtrack very swiftly. Yvonne Beyers, she has released the statement saying, it is unprofessional for one of our journalists to have a relationship with convicted criminals. But surprisingly, actually, when you look back over history, this isn't the first time something like this has happened. Do you know the mass woman murderer Ted Bundy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A journalist was also given the assignment of covering that case. They ended up falling in love.
Mm-hmm.
And she was actually volunteering. And that's where she met Ted Bundy for the first time. And they ended up having a 7-year-long friendship.
And then he killed her.
No. Because actually this Anne, who fell in love with Ted Bundy, actually waited for Ted while he was in prison, would often send Ted money for the likes of haircuts in prison, up until it's... Okay then.
Give me your Satanist look. Where are your horns? Put your horns on.
Up until this romantic love story ended up with Ted being executed in 1999. How unfortunate. But also another mass murderer named Bobby fell in love with their psychologist. Imagine, like, the court is trying to play its part in all of this. The murderer goes through psychology and then, hey, woos the psychologist in this. So beautiful. Let's see what happens with Huisgenoot and LaRue Stain.
Yeah, these murderers.
The Krugersdorp murders.
But they're quite charismatic, old murderers.
Yes, they are.
So there's this guy in America who might actually be America's most prolific murderer. It's a guy called Samuel Little. He's 78 years old. He's in prison for 3 murders, so he's serving a life prison sentence. He wants to change prisons because obviously he's in for life. He wants something different. And it turns out this guy's now spilling the beans on over 90 murders that he committed by himself.
Wow, and he was only convicted for the 3.
Yes.
So shows you how shitty law enforcement really is.
Well, exactly. That's the whole point about this article. So the current record stands 49 murders, a guy called Gary Ridgway, who murdered a whole bunch of people during the 80s and 90s. But right. This guy, Samuel Little, who was apparently a lot more prolific, ranging from a time period of 1970 to 2005, all across the country, he murdered all these women. He said he would find vulnerable women in clubs, bars, streets, whatever.
Sure.
And it was always a similar thing. He was an ex-boxer. He would beat them and then strangle them.
Sure.
So over 90 things.
He shouldn't be called Samuel Little. He should be called Samuel a lot.
Yeah, you're spot on, Leanne. And he said, well, basically spilling the beans and all these different things, like he would vividly remember all the places, all the women, how he did these kind of things. And he said, you know, there's a reason why I got away with all this kind of stuff and I have slipped the law enforcement, as you said, Gareth, is that I did this in vulnerable areas where there's drug addiction, prostitution, social decay. If I came into your world, I would be caught. So this guy preyed on vulnerable people.
Yeah, if you go into the shit neighborhoods, you get away with it a lot more
exactly.
easily.
Mm-hmm. So this whole law enforcement system is that if you live in shit neighborhoods, people just forget about you.
Yeah, it's terrible.
That's how the world works.
Terrible.
He commits 90 murders.
It's a lot, huh?
Well, this guy's now telling authorities, sitting there smug in jail, saying, yep, I did all of this. And it correlates with all these unsolved murders that have happened.
Well, that clears a whole lot of unsolved murders from the register, you know, because there must be parents and children and relatives and friends who never knew what happened to their...
Or just thought that they were missing.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's just so... There's some awful people in the world.
There really are.
But there's so many.
Yeah, but we're trying to find reasons, and there aren't any. Like, everybody's... All these crazy people... Right, and I use the term crazy. I do not refer to those people who are dealing with serious mental illness and who
who are aware of it and who are doing something about it and who are seeking treatment. I'm talking about like crazy as in they're going to kill someone crazy. You have to be a certain level of nut job to go around and murder people. And then an even more incredibly stupid level of nut job if you're going to kill 90 people. What on earth is it that doesn't stop someone before that moment when they're about to kill somebody? You know, I understand if someone broke into your house and they threatened your life or the life of your loved ones, you would do something. You might kill them.
Yeah,
you'd
or if you
whatever was it?
If you bust a criminal, he might kill you.
Sure, and that's understandable. Like a moment of rage. You know, even if you hear about some of these murders, even the most famous ones in South Africa recently, like Oscar Pistorius, you know, moment of rage, passion, amygdala response. We've discussed this over and over again. And then something terrible happens. But to premeditate the murder of 90 people.
Yeah, making a life of it.
Wow. There's got to be something in that. I mean, we've got to try and learn something from it, right?
But there's so many people who are like that.
Do you think so?
Well,
so
yeah, it's not as rare as we think.
Well, it's how they get their kicks, I guess. Nothing, wow. Nothing else in society stimulates them or turns them on.
I'm so glad I wake up happy and stimulated every day.
And not wanting to murder.
Yeah. It's so good not to. Let's all take a moment. With all the goodness in the world, let's all take a moment to be happy about the fact that we don't want to murder today. All right? Sure. Like, pat yourself in the back. You didn't murder anyone this week.
Yeah.
I know it's always twisted when I admit something like this, but uh-oh. I find it fascinating. I want to find out how you get to a point where committing murder is exactly like, you know, drinking a glass of water and you can do it 90 times over and not bat an eyelid. Just fascinating to me.
Well, I could always introduce you to the Satanists of Krugersdorp.
Yeah, tell me about it. Because I've recently found myself very obsessed with the Casey Kasem story all over again now.
Well, what's happened there?
And Casey Kasem, as you know, and you've joked over the years, and he died and his body was not buried for a while and then was moved to Norway and it's been buried in an unmarked grave. And we didn't really know much about the story around it. But now his widow, Jean Kasem, is taking Casey Kasem's children to court. And Jean is Casey Kasem, the legendary DJ's second wife, so the stepmother to the children, claiming that the children killed Casey for his money and to inherit money.
Wow.
All of a sudden. But as court proceedings are happening and as lawyers are having their time to explain things, these bizarre incidences before his death are now being revealed, which just so Jean is actually the crazy one in this equation.
She's so crazy. She was the one who's transporting his body around.
Yes. So Casey was
the guy he was dead and he hadn't been put in the ground. I mean, he must have been like, she probably had him in a little box. Eventually. Then she did put him in the ground, then they dug him up again and moved him. I mean, this is just unreal, because the guy was like a radio announcer. He was a top 40 DJ. Listen to this quickly. It's 1986.
You'll see the hottest videos in the land, along with extra reviews of the tops of the soul, country, and album charts, plus special inside looks at the world of popular music.
That was his show. Listen
Let's
to this.
Find out. Debuting at number 10 is a band whose lead singer has a musical connection with the lead singer of Heart. Mike Reno is the lead singer of the group called Loverboy. Oh. And Ann Wilson is Heart's lead singer. Oh. 2 years ago, they had a top 10 hit together called Almost Paradise. Well, this week, Ann Wilson is in the top 10 with These Dreams, and Mike Reno is at number 10 with...
I mean, this is the guy's job. He used to just announce the songs. He could count. That's basically what he did.
And he did it all wearing a tie.
He created what is a staple now in the American entertainment industry, the American Top 40, and he made tons of money around that. But towards the end of his life, he was in an assisted living care facility, And one evening, Jean Kasem, the wife, went in at around 2:30 in the morning, unplugged him from all of these machines and wheeled him out and basically stole his body. He was still alive there, but really at the brink of death, stole his body and went and rented out this random house out of town to keep Casey Kasem away from the kids.
But he was already dead?
No, he was you know, right at the end of his life. But reasons of that, even, why would you do such a thing at 2:30 in the morning? Why would you steal your husband away from this assisted care living center?
Just screw loose.
That's already bizarre, which makes you go, what was wrong with you? And then hired a shoddy team of medical personnel to take care of him there.
Dr. In this, Conrad Murray?
In this random house, most probably, who knows? And then told the kids, oh yeah, if you want to see your father, he's here at this X address. The kids come and the medical team then tell them, oh, by the way, so there's no hope for your father living anymore. Since you are biologically connected to him, you have the right to switch off the machines because he's not going to live, you know, for the next couple of days. The kids, you know, are very sad. They switch the machines off, and that's when Jean takes the cue and says, you killed your father, I'm taking you to court.
Oh,
how twisted. How absolutely twisted. So this
here's
is now
my top 10 reasons why Jean decided to kill me. Number 10, my enormous fortune in bank accounts all over America. Number 9, I started to stink after 5 years in the assisted living facility. Number 8, my kids are assholes. Number 7, I married a psychopath.
Yes, that's the one.
Number 6, my teeth were starting to fall out of my head. Number 5, my hair had started to grow in places I didn't have hair before. Number 4, I had a gold ring that Jean really wanted and couldn't prize off my hand, so she cut it off with a hacksaw. Number 3. I mean, I don't know. What a horrible way to go.
It's weird. And this is all still he said, she said. Jean is having her time with her lawyers. The kids are still going to speak out. Jean then, in the fluff of trying to get back at the kids, then did the whole thing of moving the body to Europe and then has now buried it.
Number 3, my leg just fell off.
Yeah.
Badoof.
Number 2, I've started to smell like a compost heap.
And then there's also this weird Casey Kasem fan who's moved to Norway, who knows Jean, and every week on Twitter, I've been trying to find this Twitter account, every week on Twitter, this crazy fan will visit the grave and just shoot a video of, okay, there's a grave today, and then leave. And then next week we'll also record. It's fascinating to me how all of these twisted people still function in society. It's odd.
Wow.
Yeah, so let's see how the court actually gets to the bottom of this.
I don't even know how to get to, like, please don't let that happen to me. If I die before any of you, please don't let someone drag me around the world as a corpse and then bury me in Norway, please.
It's all for the money.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to tour you with a podcast series.
It reminds me of that movie Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, yes. It's going to be week-long with Gareth.
Jesus, please don't do
that. Can we implant a tiny little speaker in your mouth and then we'll have your corpse on show?
No, an animated.
And just, yeah, it will just replay old podcasts. That's
exactly what we're going to do.
Good idea.
Gareth's going home now to change his will.
What an embarrassment. And the guy did have a lot of money left over. Mm. He sort of bought a ton of property when he was a DJ. And that was those were the days when DJs got paid.
Yeah.
Now if you're at the SABC, listen, turn on the radio if you feel like having a laugh. Listen to anyone on Metro or Five or any of those stations and just know they're probably not going to have food at the end of this month, let alone a Christmas bonus.
Radio Sonnegrenta.
If you think you got a shit job, imagine going in. You spent a month or two there. The SABC can't pay them. They don't have any money. You got to feel sorry for them.
Mm,
in fact, we should do a fundraiser. I'm ready to do a telethon to help old DJs at the SABC who aren't going to have any Christmas. Let's send them all. You remember those hampers that you used to buy at the shops?
Like Christmas hampers. Hamper.
That's with a Iwi Zame's meal and, you know. We should send those to all the DJs at Metro and Five. I mean, these used to be people who everyone in society was impressed by. They were cool. And, you know, you thought, wow, he's a DJ on a national radio station. Now we want to send them a hamper.
to help tide them through the
nothing
festive
season.
Nothing
lasts forever, you see. Nothing.
What a sad state of affairs. Holy hell.
Well, talking about tons of money, did you guys hear about the Storage Wars scandal?
What?
Do you know Storage Wars, the TV show?
Hey, first of all, does anyone here use a storage facility?
I did up until recently.
Really?
Yeah.
So is that one of these rooms that you it's got a roller door and you unlock it and you got all your shit in there and then you close it down? And
exactly like that.
And you basically pay them all rent for it.
I see them all over.
Yeah. You've got 24-hour access to it. Mine was just for boring things like furniture and boxes and...
Okay. So what is a storage war?
So Storage Wars is a TV show. It's filmed in California in the States. And basically if the company, whatever storage unit company, hasn't received rent from you for 3 months, they're allowed to auction your storage facility. And there are people who love this. They'll trek around the country waiting for these Storage Wars auctions because you never know what you can find there.
Yeah, it's like an Amazon mystery box almost. And they open the doors so you can see a few items, but you're not allowed to go in and rummage through.
Yes.
And then you just bid.
So now I sort of...
You don't know what you're going to
get. No, you might see a golf club or something sticking out. So you've got a little bit of an idea.
They might have Casey Kasem's body in there.
Yeah, see a leg. That's Casey.
A green, rotten leg.
Number five,
my leg with only 4 toes left.
All in a suitcase, Casey.
3, 2, 1. Toes.
So it is a bit of a gamble in an interesting way. So on a recent episode of Storage Wars, there was this bidding that was happening outside of one of these
units,
and the winning bidder paid $500 for it. And as they went into the unit, they looking through everything, they find a bag, they open the bag up, and there's $7.5 million in cash.
Oh my word.
So they get to keep it, right? Because they bought the storage unit.
Fair and square, that happens. Jesus. But out of the woodwork comes the rightful owner of the unit saying, look, I'm sorry I missed out on my rent, but that is my money.
Did they get the money back?
No, well, they had a bit of a scuffle, and I think these people are stupid for this.
A scuffle, or they went straight to the lawyers?
Well, yeah, it was a scuffle with lawyers, but I think they're stupid for reaching an agreement with the former owners, and rightfully we can use the word former owners of this unit. They ended up saying, okay, fine, you can get your cash back, but just pay us out some money, and they ended up accepting $1.2 million.
That's good.
Out of it.
Still a good deal.
Yeah.
Excuse me, am I the only one... Then evidently I'm too stingy. I would have kept all the cash.
Sia.
Whose money is it?
Sia, you can't have other people's things. You're not allowed to just take
it
other people's things.
It all depends on what the contract said and what the law says.
No, guys. So, you know what? Sometimes people forget stuff. Like, maybe you've got a little box in the top of your cupboard, and in it you put some special precious things that once to you were important and you forgot about them. And later on, 20 years later, you go, I wonder where that box is. And you look for it, and lo and behold, someone's taken it. Does that mean that you've given that person permission? That's still theft.
You see, I understand if we're talking about your son's christening outfit. Gladly take that with pleasure. $7.5 million in cash. It's in bundles in a bag.
That's pretty important storage. I mean, that's something someone's lovingly thought about and put in the... No, you can't take that away from them.
And also, what were you doing with $7.5 million in cash?
You never know when you need to run the country. Mm.
And how do you casually forget all of that?
Well, maybe he was consulting to, like, the Vele group or something.
Mm.
That's what happens. Well, people get good jobs in life.
I bet if you could find out which storage unit Floyd Shivambu and Julius Malema have, you'll find a whole lot more.
Let's go and
I'm
find
telling
it.
You.
Well, they're big people for at least reaching that settlement.
All right, a couple of messages before we get to George Meany, who's just walked in. George has a storage unit full of cash. He does. You can ask him about it just now. Right, George?
In my imaginary storage unit full of cash.
Okay. Well, Guillermo says, hey guys, once Sia is done talking about Oprah, well, he did finish quite, I mean, he said he would carry on until 7:45, which is now, but we managed to talk him down.
There's an extended version of the Gareth Cliff show today. 1 extra hour, Sia meeting Oprah.
This is Guillermo. He says, I had a leave of absence from Facebook, and in the week, I suddenly thought I'd log back in to check it out again. There was a post by a lady congratulating her husband on their anniversary. This clearly was a post for likes.
and a lot of people had commented and given them well wishes. I felt compelled to comment, so I did. I simply wrote, "Your husband is a cheater," and then I left.
Oh, dear.
I'm never going back to Facebook.
Whoa.
Well, listen, Guillermo, if you know for a fact the husband's a cheater, you still didn't have to say that. And if you didn't, you're just the most horrible person in the whole world this Friday. What a mean thing to do. Even if she's a virtue signaling pain in the ass who's looking for likes, you can't do that to someone. That's horrible.
I actually admire that.
Anushka says, "I wish I loved any human as much as Sia loves Oprah."
Oh.
"I love Sia's song," says somebody else. Mm. Yeah.
I was wondering what happened to that song.
There's a Christmas edition coming out soon, George. Don't worry.
Can I say that when Sia growls in his song, I get chills all over my body, followed by a dose of nausea. Needless to say, the chills are not good chills. Please stop playing that song. Peace and love, peace and love. Okay, so sorry, I thought that was a compliment, but it very quickly turned into a vicious insult. And then a couple of other messages that had come through. "Morning team, here in Four Ways on a Wednesday afternoon. I was at a business lunch organized by one of the independent radio stations. I was proud to say that I didn't listen to them, but only to Cliff Central. And the looks I got from them." Wow.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah, they're very, they don't like talking about us. They get very threatened. "Where can I download Sia's song?" says somebody.
See? Mixed reviews. That's what.
It's from the Lunatic Asylum in East London.
Sounds like, you know, something with the Rolling Stones would say.
Yeah, it's nice to see this little Wi-Fi at West Copies.
"The single was received with mixed reviews." Let's keep it
for
up.
For a bunch of kidnappers who want to torture their captives.
Okay. Well, that's enough of the messages for today. Let's turn our attention to George Meany. He's here to tell us what's going on in the world of cars, motoring, and the lifestyle of transport and sexy cars, and the way to spend December is with one of those convertibles.
I'd love to spend time driving around with a convertible. How's it, Gareth? How's it,
George? I had lunch yesterday with a friend of mine who has a Ferrari.
Wow.
Yo, nice Ferrari too. You know, because you get some that are better than others.
Yeah, you do. You do.
Yo.
You do. I don't know if a topless car in Cape Town is a good thing or a bad thing, because the traffic's so bad. Isn't a motorbike or a scooter better?
I don't know, George. I think some people live to just drive around, you know, Beach Road or Victoria Road or whatever it is with their
top down,
and, you know, coke and bitches.
See, you could see his attention there.
Strippers and blow.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I mean, maybe you're right. You can never find parking for a car either.
No.
The best thing that ever happened to Cape Town is Uber, and vice versa.
Well, talking about Uber, you know Lyft, competitor to Uber.
Yes.
So they...
A friend of mine has such a bad Uber rating, she's had to use Lyft.
Oh, wow.
She's the consumer.
Yes,
she's
you get rated too.
You get... Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh. The driver rates you.
Give me your Uber, I'll tell you what your rating is.
What's your rating, Dan?
It's out of 5. So the best rating you can get is 5. Very few people I know have got a 5.
Have you got a 5? Let's see what I've got.
So the lower you go from 5,
the worse, the less likely that they'll drive right past you if you have a very
I'm
low
still
rate.
Good.
See, I get the impression that since tipping came in, all our ratings have gone down. So if you don't tip, they're going to go, "Oh, I hate you."
What could Leanne, I have done wrong?
Leanne is a 4.74. That's pretty good.
I'm 4.36.
Right? Oh, Jesus. George is very teetering close to the brink. George, did you throw up in the back of an Uber?
No.
I'm a 4.61.
Wow.
Oh, no, guys, I might be the lowest.
You're killing me.
Oh, jeez.
What are you, Gareth?
Not surprised.
I'm a 4.67.
Oh,
I'm the highest.
I am the lowest. I'm 4.28.
Because you must be such a shit passenger to get that.
Ask all kinds of things.
You know that if you drop below 4, they're not like
you. Maybe I might have to download Lyft now.
I literally am there before he arrives. I'm always cheerful.
Yes. You don't say to him, "Here, plug my phone and I want to listen to my music."
No, I say to him, "You can play," or her, "you play whatever music you like."
Right.
I think so the only reason...
Let me sing for you.
The only reason I got 4.36 is because I get into the car, I don't really want to talk to anyone, and I ask him to turn the music down because I want to make phone calls.
Do you fart in his back seat?
No.
That's it. That's George's superpower.
Do you sneeze on him?
No, not that I can remember.
Do you slam his car door when you get out?
Do you hoot for him when you're
in traffic? That depends, because one of the Uber drivers in Cape Town almost killed me.
Well,
for slamming the door?
No. Oh. In the car.
That's why you got a shit rating, because you weren't grateful that he tried to kill you.
What, that he almost saved my life?
You should have given him a 5-star rating and a tip. What's
you were looking sad that day. You thought he was helping out.
So Sia has the lowest rating of all of us. That should tell you something about what it's like to be in confined spaces with Sia.
No, I'm reading their criteria.
He probably sings
really,
his song.
It really does not apply to me at all.
No, Sia does. Just
go on. Give us some tips about how you can get your rating up, Sia.
Short wait times. I never make my drivers wait. Courtesy, have you ever known me to be rude? And then safety, lol, it's my life, not yours, I will buckle up. But evidently they just aren't grateful for a little song or two.
Maybe you should when stop, I'm drunk. Maybe you should stop carrying when you know. Catch Ubers.
I should stop.
Leave your gun at home.
No.
Makes them nervous, Sia.
I think my standard procedure is get into the car, you greet the driver, you ask for the aux or to connect to their Bluetooth,
no, you
play
don't.
Music and you sing.
You don't, you sit.
Ah, now we know why you got 4.2.
Don't mess with their radio. No.
I get into the car. If they're listening to Umhlobo Wenen, I let them listen to Umhlobo Wenen.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh. It's their place of work. Imagine going for a meeting and saying, oi, turn that off. I want to hear this.
Well, I think oi is the first mistake.
What's yours, Ben?
4.61.
Hmm. Oh, you're also quite shit.
So I'm at the bottom, then George, then you.
Ben.
Then me, then Gareth.
Leanne is our star pupil, as usual.
Yay. Always
she's
based.
Such a class nerd. All right. Anyway.
So what happened with Lyft?
Yeah, what happened with Lyft?
What's happening with Lyft?
Sia's backup plan.
Yeah, this is a backup plan, Sia, and it'll suit you. So Lyft, Lyft is launching in New York City, pink-wheeled, shareable bikes, electric bikes. This is apparently a big thing. They bought into a company and raised $600 million, and they plan on getting scooters to deliver 15% of transport within the next year. So,
where are they housed? Where do they stop?
Okay, so in New York, you have these various places on the street where you can just
park,
get a bike.
Yeah,
and if you've got the app.
Yep.
Then you unlock the bike with the app, and you just you ride it anywhere. A friend of mine, we had a coffee, and then he got on his bike and he went uptown, and he left the bike there and caught the subway back. So they're like Boris's bikes in London.
The nice thing about this particular initiative is that it's not a locked up bike, so you can just leave it there. You don't have to put it in any there's no parked spot.
Well, that's why I asked, because if everyone's just leaving things around, that's a lot of litter essentially. Because now all of a sudden your sidewalks or your junctions,
people are just going
to littered with these things.
Yeah, they'll dump them outside the subway station. That's going to be dangerous.
I'm pretty sure that they're going to get a bad rating. We won't be able to rent a bike again.
Then they'll have to go to Uber.
We'll come to see it to find out how to increase.
I want to find out who's got the lowest Uber here, or even in the country.
I wonder.
I'd love to know if you've got an Uber rating below 4. That would be quite something. You'd have to be such a terrible person. I mean, you're actually a bad person.
You have to be a bad person.
Yeah. Your Uber rating. You remember that Black Mirror episode, Ben?
Yeah.
Where the girl can't order food because her rating starts to slip too low.
Exactly.
Other people rate you the whole time.
Oh, wow.
And if your rating slips below a certain number, you don't get food, you don't get transport.
Mm.
No, it's actually happening in China already. They have a social rating system, and some people are dropping below the threshold.
Is this like the transport homeless?
Yeah, they can't get anything they need. It's very, very dangerous.
And you can't live in certain places.
Yeah.
You got to,
be nice or get a low rating.
Yeah.
I'm that person. If I order a pizza and it comes to me completely wrong, I just shut up and eat it. I don't make anyone angry.
Your rating will always be sky high, ass. Don't you worry. All right.
You'll
what else?
Right. Well, the South African National Automobile Association has announced that there is now a master plan initiative to double the number of units produced in South Africa by 2035, which takes total production of content from 39% to 60%. And units from 600,000 to 1.4 million units per year of new cars.
Great.
This means that if we get this right as a country, we go from 0.6% of global production to 1% of global production, which is a big deal. Because to put this in context, without the automotive industry in South Africa, we as a country are buggered. Because it makes up for 7% of our GDP. And
phenomenal.
It's huge. It's absolutely huge. And accounts for 30% of all manufacturing in South Africa. Automotive manufacturing accounts for 30% of all manufacturing. Wow. And 14% of total exports, and employs 110,000 people, making 8.2 billion rand in revenues. And that's just the core manufacturing of motor vehicles. Never mind all the ancillary revenues and jobs and products that could produce, like Auto Trader's revenues aren't in there. And
Of course.
Tire companies' revenues aren't in there. So this automotive industry is the backbone of this country.
If we lost our automotive industry, or if it coughed and it got a cold, we would all feel it.
Exactly.
In a very big, very bad way.
I was looking at the trend of vehicle sales the other day.
Mm-hmm.
New and used for the last 12 years. Because I wanted to see what happened during the recession of 2008-2009. So what happened when GDP went below zero in 2008 and 9
right.
to vehicle sales?
Yeah.
And what happened to vehicle sales when interest rates shot up? Did the automotive industry, did people not buy cars? Yeah. And people continued to buy cars. Hmm. The vehicle sales and manufacturing has never fallen off a cliff in this country. Well, that's not amazing. In the last 12 years anyway. So we can't lose our manufacturing. It would be a disaster, I think.
I'm just looking at what the cheapest car is I can get on Auto Trader. Like, it's always nice. I love doing that. You go on and you see what the most expensive car is on there, because you can arrange it by price, and you look at what the cheapest car is.
I was on there yesterday. I saw a Ferrari for 12 point something million.
Hmm. Yeah, here it is. The very car that you just spoke about, Ben. Good heavens, that is something else.
Good heavens indeed.
Beautiful. Oh, look there, the CS car. I didn't know you were selling it.
Oh, yeah, I'm just still trying to crack a knot for that expensive dinner, so.
Ah, right.
Okay. Yes.
So it's tough times in the Sangweni household.
21,000 rand dinner.
Well, at least you went to Auto Trader. That's a good move.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good move.
What else, George?
Then, following on from Lyft's electric bike story, the world's first fully 3D printed motorcycle.
I don't know if I want to go around on that. I've seen these 3D printers. First of all, they take forever.
They do.
They take so long. They make a little model.
But it has to get better, right?
Yeah, of course. But you make a little model of the Eiffel Tower. First of all, you need like 3 tons of plastic. And second of all, it takes 8 years to make. You might as well make the actual Eiffel Tower.
How long did the Eiffel Tower take to build?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Probably about 10 years.
Yeah. But this bike's made out of 15 parts and is electric motorcycle and probably the way of the future.
That's very few parts compared to an actual motorbike.
And that's the thing about electric cars as well. Electric cars have potentially, a handful, between 100 and 200 moving parts.
Wow.
Whereas an internal combustion engine car has over 2,000 to 2,500 moving parts.
Mm.
So you can see that these electric vehicles, when you buy one, they're going to last forever.
Yeah, I mean, less moving parts means durability, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So I think this is the future.
When are you getting an electric car?
When Tesla comes to South Africa.
Okay.
Yeah. That's my favorite one.
No sooner, Gareth.
Right. George is like he's our resident expert, so we need to ask him these things.
Well, Tesla's probably the only one that I would go for, to be entirely honest.
Okay.
So there's a revolutionary tow bar that you'll be able to connect from the comfort of your car's driver's seat. And with this, giant stride, the tow bar has curiously been left out of the equation in today's world of technology. Because, I mean, how do you connect it? Everybody's going on holiday.
First of all these people who have to tow 10,000 things on holiday must get off the road.
Sure. And not try to overtake us.
I'm sick of these tow bar people. Yeah, I saw one dude once going down to KZN. He had a car, a caravan, then a trailer with a jet ski on it, then something else at the back of that. And I thought, you know what? You hire a truck, you asshole.
Hire a truck. Well, I've seen, I've seen some interesting towing situations around a mountain pass where a car, it was a big car, towing a boat. Behind that, something else, and then a little trailer. Is that even legal?
I don't think so. You shouldn't be allowed to. Mm-hmm. In fact, anyone who has a caravan, it should be taken away from them by force.
Oh, my God.
So this tow bar, you're able to connect the, it's got a camera in it, and you're able to, reverse into the...
It's a bit like a sex machine.
Yeah, so basically, it's like those sex machines that
Those ones.
You reverse your car into the tow bar, and it can tell you if you've got good penetration.
Mm-hmm. Any on the Cliff Central
turn show? I did not see happening, George Meany.
What? You come here to learn, Sia. People come here to hear the brilliant stuff that George has spent all week trying to find out for us.
Why is my alarm trying to wake me up?
Because
it's because I went to Guns N' Roses last night.
Oh, did you? How was it?
Oh, how was that?
It was about 70 to 80% full. I was surprised that it wasn't full. It was a very good concert.
I think they especially sold less tickets because they think a lot of Guns N' Roses fans might have got fat, so they needed more space. Isn't that it?
Well, I mean, Axl Rose has picked up weight.
Shame.
He hasn't picked up as much weight as everybody seems to make
was
up.
Was he good, though?
Yeah, he was good. He was really good. Mm. Yeah.
So they went ahead even though there was a collapse and sickness. Mm. Isn't that?
Yeah, he was sick. He was on a drip, but he did well.
Wow. What was your favorite song?
There were three, but probably Paradise City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go. 1, 2, 3.
Hey, you could have been a metal singer there, Gareth.
Well, once. Anyway, I love those guys. I just couldn't go stand in a stadium.
I'm not a concert person, but what I did find myself thinking standing there is these guys played for 3.5 hours.
Solid. Professional.
Justin Bieber pitches up at that same bloody stadium, plays for an hour, and buggers off.
Yes.
I'm tired.
In one outfit.
Yeah.
Axl Rose changed his outfit every 2 or 3 songs.
What a winner.
A Slash never got off the stage. Never. Not once.
You have his hat on?
He had his hat on.
And a nappy.
Nappy?
Couldn't see the nappy.
Oh, true.
Slash is awesome.
But he never got off the stage,
Gareth. One of the greatest guitarists ever.
Between Axl Rose's changes and between the songs, Slash would be entertaining.
Yeah, those guys have been around, and they have never dropped their game. They've written beautiful songs that are timeless, that will last forever. Good for them.
I was thinking exactly the same thing. Where are the bands of today that even compare? What happens when those guys die?
I was having
this
conversation yesterday as well. Because now, obviously, with the Queen movie coming out, it's out. I think today it premieres. Where are these bands? Who are these bands? But then again, we don't need bands anymore because we have
electronics.
People like Sia can make a song.
Well,
it's so easy to make music.
That's how low the standard is. Sia can make a song.
But it's all been diluted into just general noise.
Sia's pulling faces.
I just don't understand that comparison.
He looks so confused.
Really, I am. Like,
all right, let's wrap it up with the un-news. Happy Friday, everybody. Here it is, the stuff you need to know. Are you ready? Oprah is in the country.
Let's put some respect on Miss Winfrey, please.
And with that, nostalgia's flooding back with fond memories of Madiba and the time she spent with him. Current day politicians are queuing up to meet her, of course, but upon entering the country, she made it very clear she had no intention of conversing with shithole lackeys. Cyril Ramaphosa said Tom Moyane was not entitled to head up SARS just because he has the support of Jacob Zuma. The president went on to say that this is a ridiculous notion, much like being told to hire a babysitter because he has the support of Joseph Fritzl. And finally, Rassie Erasmus's year has been assessed from a results perspective, and the numbers suggest he's even worse than Alistair Coetzee. How's that? In his defense, Erasmus said Coetzee had only one job, whereas he, Rassie, has 74. So when you put that into the equation, he's actually doing really, really well. We will see you on Monday. Have an excellent day in the company of CliffCentral.com. Be good. Misbehave if you have to. But for heaven's sake, don't end up in jail. All right? I may not always love you, but I wish there are stars above you. CliffCentral.com.